To succeed, just let go. This is Willie Horton, exploring how we must and can take control of our state of mind and transform our lives. You're very welcome.
What do you want? I mean, what do you really, really want? I got an email a couple of days ago from an owner of the Psychology of Success online program who said she was stuck at session 39 because she doesn't know what she wants. It was one in a trail of such emails that stretch all the way back to the birth of the online program in late 2018. So many people don't know what they want. At almost exactly the same time as I got that email, I was chatting on Zoom to a one-to-one client, a guy that I've worked with for years, who started the conversation by saying to me, "It appears that there is an emerging opportunity for me higher up in the organization, something that I've always wanted, or at least something that I always thought I wanted. And now I'm saying to myself, is that what I really want?" I said to him, that's the wrong question, because the question you need to ask is a much bigger question than a career question. So many people ask themselves questions about their career. So many people are looking for their so-called ideal job. Anybody with whom I've ever worked who wanted an ideal job and set their mind to get their ideal job got their ideal job, and more often than not got their ideal job in the most remarkable of circumstances. But your job, your career, even if it's your own business, it's only one aspect of your life. And particularly if we're talking about a career and employment as distinct from owning your own business. That kind of career is, as I said to my friend when I talked to him during that conversation, it's a hop on, hop off bus. People tend to think that when they are in a job and they can see themselves moving forward and they can see the proverbial opportunity higher up in the organization that I've just mentioned, people tend to think that they are on a non-stop express train. And indeed, some of the people, or many of the people with whom I've worked who work in large corporations, it feels like a never-ending non-stop express train. Or for some people, it feels like an ongoing train wreck. And it actually wrecks their minds, wrecks their bodies, wrecks their health as a result of the everyday stress that it causes. But most people, when it comes to talking career, think they are on that express train and that they can't get off it. Or, heaven forbid, if they were thrown off it, what would they do? But as I said to my friend, the job you have at the moment is the vehicle on which you're traveling. And as I just said, it's a hop-on, hop-off bus. And even though you, meaning the individual to whom I was talking, might say to yourself, oh, there appears to be an opening further up in the organization, the organization in which any of us ever worked is not the be-all and end-all. It might feel like that at the time. You know, I recollect having a conversation with a client a couple of years ago who was, when I first started talking to him in his late 50s, apprehensive about retiring and what would he do after his retirement, because work was everything to him, his career was everything to him, business was everything to him. Strangely enough, his employer didn't have that perspective at all. He was nothing to the business, as most employees sadly actually are. Why do you think they're called human resources? Not human beings, just human resources, like oil that you drill out of the ground. Or rare earth minerals, as we hear a lot about these days. When that guy retired, after a couple of months, I had a conversation with him. I could remember the titles of the various meetings he would be at regularly at work. He couldn't remember them anymore. And actually, he said to me, what was all that about? It seems now, in hindsight, that it was all about nothing at all. Now, obviously, if you can look back on your career and say that it meant nothing at all, One has to question what you were doing for all that time and whether you were actually turned on or going through the motions. But that's beside the point in the context of this week's episode of this podcast. I want to come back to where I started in relation to my online program owner saying that she was stuck at session number 39, that she doesn't know what she wants. And my one-to-one client who said that now that an opportunity might be opening up further up in the organization, he's questioning whether that is what he really wants. And to come back to the key point I want to make in this podcast this week, I said to him, that is not the right question. The question isn't, what do I want to do in my career? The question isn't, how do I want to progress in my business life? The question isn't, what am I going to do after I retire? The question is, what do I want now? What do I want in the here and now? And it's an enormous question because it boils down to you asking yourself, listen carefully, what kind of everyday experiences you want in your everyday life every day. Every day matters. Every now matters. And anything other than now actually doesn't matter because now is all that you have. The past is a foreign land. You'll learn nothing from the past. More often than not, we learn nothing from the past because if we made mistakes in the past, it wasn't really us who made them. It was our automated way of thinking that made the mistakes. So the one thing, and possibly the only thing that we can learn from our past mistakes is that we should be more aware in the here and now so that we don't make any more mistakes. And there's no merit in thinking about the future. Fact of the matter is, and there's a load of research and neuroscience in relation to this, that when we start thinking about the future, we inevitably start worrying about the future. And like everything else that happens in our automated way of thinking, all thinking leads to overthinking, and overthinking always leads to negative thinking. And there's no merit in going there because that actually is a train wreck. So back to the conversation I had with my friend. I said, this is a far bigger question than the question you've asked. And it isn't a me question. It's a we question. If you're in a relationship, what I want out of life is actually a we question. What do we want out of life? Now, I didn't say if you're in a relationship and if you have children, because your children have their own lives. And an awful lot of parents find that difficult to get their head around. An awful lot of parents will continually try to control their children, even in later life, which is absolutely madness on the basis that we can control nothing in our own lives, never mind someone else's life. We can control nothing in our life. The only thing that we can control in our life is our moment-to-moment state of mind. If we control and manage our moment-to-moment state of mind, we're going to have great influence over what happens for us in our lives. But if we don't do that, we don't even have any influence over the day-to-day experience that we call life. And I say it that way because if we're using our minds normally, we only call it life. It isn't the real thing. Because if we are buried in automated thought, we're not experiencing the only place and time that we have. The here and now. So I suggested to my friend that he needs to reflect on how he wants to enjoy his everyday life every day. Now, the minute I mentioned the word enjoy, the conversation immediately turned back to his career. And in exactly the same way as my retired friend wondered what his career had been all about, clearly he wasn't enjoying it, he was going through the motions. My friend now, when I asked him about what he wants to enjoy in his life every day, said, well, I'm only enjoying my work on the odd occasion. And most of the time, it's quite the opposite. If you're not enjoying yourself, would you ever go back to bed and get up when you have decided that you are going to enjoy yourself. Listen to my words carefully. Joy isn't something that comes from the work you're doing. It isn't something that comes from the people with whom you find yourself, even those with whom you're in a close relationship. It has nothing to do with the things that you do as hobbies or pastimes or leisure activities. Joy comes from inside. And that is why the word enjoyment is so important. Enjoy. It means that I give myself joy. If you decide that you are going to give yourself joy, and if you decide that you really actually want to give yourself joy moment to moment, day to day, starting in the here and now, and if you start from that understanding of what you are really looking for out of life, the joy of life in the here and now, that decision is going to impact every other choice that you make, including whether you stay in the job that you're not enjoying, including whether you indeed stay with the person with whom you may be finding no joy. Let's deal with that for just a moment, because as I said a minute ago, if you are in a close relationship, what I want out of life is actually what we want out of life, but not for everybody. I recollect many years ago working with one particular client, one of my very first clients, who was in a destructive relationship. And I mean destructive from the perspective of the health of the two individuals involved. I think I've told you this story before, but my client actually had a rare condition, potentially fatal condition, that vanished after he decided he wasn't going to spend the rest of his life with the person with whom he had spent the preceding 20 odd years. What emerged was that this incurable, potentially fatal illness that he had was something from which he only started to suffer about 6 months after he met his so-called nearest and dearest. And as I've just said, about 6 months after they parted ways, the incurable disease was no more. We've talked about mind and body before. We've talked about how energy vampires suck you dry. So it isn't just you looking after your own state of mind. If you're in a relationship with somebody who is literally sucking you dry, they are potentially actually killing you. But that's unusual. In the 30 years that I've been working with people, particularly with regard to their personal lives, or perhaps I should say, it's always with regard to their personal lives, because as I said a minute ago, career is only one aspect of your life, and it isn't even the most important aspect of your life, although people are prepared to die on that hill day in, day out. But in all the conversations I've had with people with regard to their personal lives over the last 30 years, there's only a smattering, only a handful of people who decided the relationship in which I find myself is good for neither of us. Now, I didn't say the relationship in which I find myself is no good for me. Even in that situation, what I want out of life is a we question. So if you've committed yourself to somebody else, and that is what a relationship is supposed to be all about. If you've committed yourself to somebody else, the question, what do I want out of life, is a we question. But it is not a question that incorporates the children. If I get what I want out of life right, and if I get what we want out of life right in a one-to-one relationship, and we have children, we're going to be the best parents in the world. We are going to be parents who actually turn up for their children. Parents who are present. Now, again, we've talked about this before and how on many occasions over the years I have sat one-to-one with people who burst out in tears, not in the realization that they were wasting their lives, although that should have brought them to tears in the first place, but in the realization that they had messed with their own children's heads during the crucial third year of their children's lives and wondered, what in God's name have I done? What monster have I created, or monsters have I created? And is there anything I can do about it? And of course, it's never too late. If it were too late, we wouldn't be sitting here having this conversation now. What you want out of life is a life question. It's not a career question. It's not a money question. It is not a passion question. I'll come back to that in a moment. It is not even a health question. It is an all of those question. It is an all-encompassing question. Just before we go any further, I've mentioned the word passion. And I've mentioned how many of the people with whom I've worked weren't enjoying what they were doing for a living. In fact, they were just doing it for a living rather than it being their passion. Now, you don't need to work for yourself to be passionate about what you're doing. You don't even need to be doing what others might consider to be an important job to be passionate about what you're doing. If you look at the initial research from the University of Chicago in relation to flow, as documented in Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi's book called Flow, a lot of the original research was done amongst people who were working on the production lines in the automotive industry in Detroit in the early 1980s. Were they important jobs? Well, they were if your brakes failed, but I mean, in the greater scheme of things, people would look at people on the production line and say, well, they're not doing a particularly important job, and certainly it couldn't be an exciting job. But some of them, and the research proved this and explored it in detail, were enjoying themselves because they were passionate about what they were doing. So when I talk about finding your passion, and a number of people with whom I work at the moment talk about finding their passion and doing the stuff that they're actually passionate about, passion actually starts with what you feel about what you're doing, or what you feel about what you would like to do. I mean, there are people with whom I work who are absolutely passionate about what they're doing, and somebody else would look at them and say, well, that wouldn't turn me on. In other words, passion is like enjoyment. It is something that you give to yourself. It is related to how you are looking after your state of mind moment to moment. If I'm looking after my state of mind moment to moment, then I'm going to make the right choices in relation to health, fitness, money, career, business, and obviously how I behave myself in my relationship. And I say relationship singular because I'm talking about the specific relationship, the close relationship that many people are in. a close relationship that many people apparently don't give much consideration to, or they wouldn't behave themselves the way they do. But that's another day's work. That's not for today's conversation. What you want out of life is all-encompassing, and it's all-encompassing in relation to your everyday life, every day in the here and now. It is not related to something in the future. The future will look after itself if you look after yourself in the here and now. And that means that you need to take control of your otherwise wayward mind, the one that will lead to the train wreck that I mentioned earlier on, the mind that, when it's left to its own devices, will run automatically and automatically take you away from your passion, automatically take you away from joy, automatically take you away from even experiencing the here and now, because it is automatically designed to enable you automatically survive. So you need to corral your mind. You need to take control of what is going on between your own two ears. Or actually, more to the point, you need to be in control of how you appreciate the wonder of what you're seeing, feeling, hearing, smelling, and tasting in the here and now without thinking about it. You may find that what you thought you weren't enjoying is actually your passion because you only thought you weren't enjoying it. You may find that the person with whom you fight every evening, the person at whom you grumble every evening, is your soulmate, and you love him or her to bits. You only thought you didn't because you were using your mind automatically. You weren't seeing, feeling, hearing, smelling, and tasting the person before your very eyes, ears, nose, and throat. We need to come to our senses. In coming to our senses, first of all, experience the here and now and realize that in the here and now, there is already joy. Not to be found, but to be cultivated from within. The joy of looking out at the mountains from where I'm sitting at the moment. I happen to be sitting in a very nice place, but indeed, that is one of the life decisions that myself and my good wife made in the context of knowing what we wanted out of life. I'm not sitting in a nice place by accident. I'm not doing the work that I do by accident. I am not sitting here recording this podcast because I have to do it every week. I didn't get involved in podcasting in the first place by accident. There was no plan either, by the way. There was no plan for any of the things that I've just mentioned. So let's be clear about that. It isn't that I planned to be sitting in the French Alps. It isn't that I planned to be doing what I'm doing. I mean, I was originally an accountant and banking executive. It isn't even that I planned to start podcasting. That was what would appear to the casual observer to be a whim about 5 years ago. None of these things is planned, because all of the things that normal crazy people think they need to plan for happen to you while you're experiencing the moment. If I can quote John Lennon, I'm not sure if I've ever quoted John Lennon before, and whether you like or dislike John Lennon is beside the point. Life is what happens when you're planning. Life is actually happening in the here and now. I may not have got that quote spot on, but you get the point I'm making. You need to take control of your state of mind so that you experience the here and now, and this is really important, experience your own ability to enjoy yourself in the here and now. Because once we experience that, it encourages us to turn up to the next here and now. And what happens in your future depends on how you behave yourself and turn up to your present. It's really, really important. So let's circle all the way back to the email that I got a couple of days ago from somebody who was stuck on session 39. The email went on to say, I really don't know any of the details that I want out of my life. Is it all right to want peace of mind? Now, you may recollect this story from a couple of years ago, an online program owner who, about a year after she became an online program owner, was sitting on one of her Wednesday evening Zooms in the same chair, in the same room that she'd been sitting in a year previously. And the year previously, her life was a disaster. And there she was, sitting in the same place, in the same room a year later, possibly even wearing the same clothes. She certainly didn't look a year older. If anything, she looked a few years younger, because, as she explained to everyone else on our program owner Zoom, she had apparently not moved on in her life as far as the casual observer would be concerned, but her life had been transformed because she had discovered peace of mind. And everything else that had been going on in her life, the wrinkles were beginning to be ironed out. Everything that had been catastrophized by her automated way of thinking had gone away. The catastrophe wasn't, as it turned out. And not only was she experiencing the joy, peace of mind, but through experiencing the joy of peace of mind, she knew that she could do just what she needed to do moment to moment to experience joy in her life moment to moment and move herself to the future that she would love to have by turning up to the present. It's the second time I've said that, and this is so important. People's minds are thrown off into the future. There may be the possibility of an opening higher up in the organization. And by the way, there are pretty much the words he said to me. It isn't even certain that something that he doesn't know whether or not he wants will actually be something that might be available to him. Mad stuff. His mind had gone way ahead of him. But then again, that's how the normal mind works. The normal mind will always take you off into the future, mug you, beat the living daylights out of you, and drop you back, not in the present, but in the past that formed your idea of who you are and why you can't. Terrible stuff. So when we sit down to reflect about what do I really want in my life, our minds need to turn to what makes us feel like we're living life to the full. What makes us feel that we're actually alive? What are the things that, you see, I could say give us joy, but as I explained a minute ago, you actually give yourself joy by fully experiencing what's going on and deciding to enjoy yourself. It's a decision that we make. I'll come back to how we make that decision in just a moment. When you sit down to reflect, you need to allow your non-thinking mind drift a little bit, daydream a little bit, and begin to provide you with the little signs and the little feelings that indicate to you what life lived to the full in the here and now actually feels like. Everybody has those, what psychology calls, positive mental resources. We've all experienced joy at some point in our lives, even if it was only fleeting. I recollect a conversation I had many, many years ago with somebody, a one-to-one client, one of my earliest clients, and I was talking to him about trying to get his head around what it would feel to be happy and successful. He said, well, I can't get my head around that because I've never experienced it in my life before. This guy was in his 40s at the time. I said, what, never? He said, oh, no, never. My life has been a disaster all the way back to my childhood. He said, I've never had a happy day. Now, this is how the normal mind actually works. You know, the normal mind, you'll hear people say, oh, nobody cares or nobody loves me or I hate my life. These sweeping statements that are actually, when you analyze them, completely and utterly meaningless. They fall into the catastrophizing that I mentioned a minute ago. Because when I sat this guy down, now it took a while, but when I sat this guy down, he actually, first of all, recollected being the captain of one of the junior rugby cup teams in his school and lifting the trophy and being lifted onto the shoulders of his teammates. And that recollection opened the floodgates. Of course, like everybody else, he had had experiences of happiness and joy. Now, you won't be able to think about what those experiences felt like in the past, in the same way as my friend thought he didn't even have any of those experiences. The feeling of those experiences comes from our non-thinking mind. And very often, those positive mental resources are buried deep in our non-thinking mind. Buried deep so that they don't get in our way of surviving from one day to the next. God help us. So I have a suggestion for you with regard to answering the question, even if it needs to be answered. Come back to that in a moment. Even if it needs to be answered. In answering the question, what do you want out of life? Go off and find yourself somewhere quiet to sit, somewhere nice to sit, preferably somewhere outdoors, somewhere warm to sit, somewhere dry to sit, and just sit there and do nothing and see what springs to mind. Now, as I finish off this week's podcast, I want to come back to how we make the decision to enjoy ourselves. Because that's actually the phrase I used a few minutes ago. And we have to actually explore it because, as I said earlier on in this episode, enjoying yourself is a choice that we make. In other words, you decide to enjoy yourself. And what one person enjoys will be boring to somebody else. So it is a decision that we actually make internally. I want to deal with that in tandem with something else that I said in this episode with regard to managing your state of mind moment to moment. Those two things together would suggest that you have a body of work to do that will overload your brain. But in fact, your brain is only overloaded by the thoughts that hold you back. Sitting, doing nothing, which is what I suggested to you a minute ago, will enable your intuitive mind make those choices for you without you having to do anything at all other than turning up to the here and now. So, the one most important thing we need to do is turn up to the here and now. As I said earlier on, your future depends on how you behave yourself in the present. What happens in your future depends on whether you turn up to the present. If you're using your mind normally, you will not turn up to the present. I can guarantee that. What we need to do, as I said earlier on, is corral our thinking mind and let it go, let it go. And we do that through practicing being in the present moment, sitting doing nothing for an hour or two on a nice bench out in the sunshine, as I've suggested to you, is an exercise in experiencing the here and now. But the most effective and scientifically validated way of developing our ability to experience the here and now is meditation. And that is why in every single episode of this podcast going back over 5 years, I have mentioned the practice of meditation. Daily meditation is really all we need to do to ensure that we do turn up to the here and now, and as a result of which our future, the future heres and nows that haven't yet arrived, are bright indeed.
You've been listening to Succeed, Just Let Go. Hope you've got a little something to help you transform your life today.